This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It seems sometimes we have an impression about ethical principles like truthfulness, justice, equality, even like kindness, forgiveness, gratitude. Somehow, we tend to think that they are impractical. And if someone is behaving ethically, that they will face so much trouble. And life doesn't work that way. Sometimes we have this, we are aware of it, but often we are unaware of it. But this kind of, what they call it sometimes in science, meme. It's a thought, it's a system within, or a thought within our system that acts like a virus. And it's not true. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you just reflect on Islam, Islam teaches us which is good. Islam calls us to every virtue and calls us away from every sin and vice. That's what Islam is. Islam is all about goodness. It's all about being a better human being, being the best person you can ever be. It's a system to help you achieve this. And if you have in your mind somewhere that these ethical principles are not actually practical, are impractical, and are causing you so much trouble, this will cause you to make choices. Sometimes, unconsciously, that will lead you to act unethically. And you would find a justification. Because if I'm truthful, I'll get caught. If I'm truthful, my business will not work. I will not achieve my goals. I need to lie. I need to cheat. I need to act deceptively. I need to cut corners. I need to resort to, you know, different means. Sometimes they're not so straight in order to get to my goals and in order for things to work out for me. Basically, there is a tacit accusation. There's a tacit accusation here towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our attitude. I'm not saying we are verbalizing it, but as in Arabic they say, بِلِسَانِ الْحَالِ لَا بِلِسَانِ الْمَقَالِ, right? It's the statement you're making through your attitude, not verbalizing with your tongue. But your attitude, our attitudes as human beings, our actions, actually make statements. And sometimes these are more powerful, much more powerful than what we say. So it seems that when we have such a tacit belief, we are actually accusing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He wants us to adhere to principles that will make our lives difficult. Principles that are dysfunctional. So we think we know better, so we resort to other means. We find an alternative. We bypass that ethical system. Okay, okay, that doesn't work. Let me just get things working. Then I will shift back to principles when I don't need anything done. Like when I need to get some results, I need to break from the ethical principles, from the principles of Islam, and I need to find practical stuff because that's impractical. And I will do it, then I'll go back. That's exactly like the statement of the brothers of Yusuf, yes? Let's get rid of him, let's kill him, then we'll become good people. So things won't work out unless we do that, you know, sin, or kill our brother, or get rid of him. And then after that, we can go back to living a principled life, and we'll be okay. So somehow, most of us are actually guilty of this. And this is a very serious issue. It's a very serious issue. The reason is, Allah created this life and this universe, and Allah designed principles, these ethical principles of honesty, of charity, of forgiveness, of generosity, of thankfulness, of forgiveness, of equality, of humbleness and humility. Allah designed them to be the system of this life, the practical system of this life. And if you don't see the practicality, you're looking in the wrong direction. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. And Allah will make everything come back to the truth. Allah will make everything come to its right course, take its full course and come to the right point of balance. But most people don't see that. Most people don't recognize it. Most people don't know it. And Allah designed ethical principles for the sake of practicality. So ethics speak the language of this universe. They're not against it. They're not impractical. But they need patience and insight. So if you lie, you get away with a lie and you avoid the blame because of lying, you think you've made it. But you don't know that sometimes probably 30 years down the line, the implications of this lie through this universal, beautiful system that Allah put in this universe will actually come back to you. But by then, you've forgot about the lie, so you don't make the connection. And you say, "Where is all this? You know, why is all this coming my way? Where did it come from?" Everything you put in this, there's a balance. This whole universe worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of it. The only two types of creatures that have choice are human beings and jinn. So this universe has a beautiful balance and it will be kept. The only ones who interfere with the harmony of the system are human beings and jinn when they make the wrong choices that are not in line with the Sharia or with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Because the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, they help you blend into and become part of this universal harmony. And that's the secret behind the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the divine hadith, the hadith al-Qudusi in Sahih al-Bukhari, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And my servant keeps seeking nearness to me through acts of worship," right? You do more acts of worship until I love him. And when I love him, I become what? His eyes with which he sees, his ears with which he hears, his hand with which he acts, and his foot with which he walks. وَلَئِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ. And if he asks of me, I shall give him. وَلَئِن اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. And if he seeks my protection, I shall give it to him. This, what does that mean? That means Allah will take care of your sight, of your eyesight. So Allah will make you see the right things. And Allah will make you see the right things in everything. So you will see the reality of everything. Allah will make you hear and recognize the reality of everything you hear. Is it truthful or untruthful? Is it right or is it wrong? Is it good for me or not good for me? And Allah says, "I will be his hand with which he acts." That means Allah will guide you to the things that are good for you in this life and the next. And also Allah will make you go to places, walk into places that are actually good for you in this life and in the next. And if he asks of me, I shall give him. And if he seeks my protection, I shall protect him. In a hadith reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and in Sahih, famous hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Prophet ﷺ says, "Whoever makes this dunya his main concern, من كانت الدنيا همه شتت الله أمره." Allah will increase his concerns. Allah will increase his worries and his troubles. شتت الله أمره وجعل فقره بين عينيه. And Allah will cause his poverty and lack and lack in front of him wherever he goes. So he will find lack wherever he goes. وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الْآخِرَةُ هَمَّهُ. Whoseever main concern is the Akhirah, and is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ. Then Allah will reduce all his distractions and his worries into one cause. One cause. وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهُ. And Allah will bring a sense of abundance and richness into his heart, into his whole being. So he will be rich. He will experience richness. He will experience life fully and feel that his experience in life is so rich in so many senses. وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا. And that's my point. وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً. And this world, this universe, will serve him, will be at his service, even if it's against its own will. What makes this dunya serve the believer, the true believer? Because it's designed in that way. So once you blend into that beautiful system, which the Quran calls the mizan, once you blend into it and, you know, act in accordance with it, and you can only do this by being true to Islam, being true to the ethics and ethos of Islam. When you do this, you blend into this universal harmony, and all of a sudden you build on that momentum. You take advantage of it, and it serves you. So the right people will show up in your life. Things will come right on time when you need them. And things that sometimes you chase will run away from you because they're not good for you. Only the good things will come to you. So the whole universe will serve you. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. This world will serve him even if it's against its own will. Allah will cause it to come to your service. Where does this come? It comes from the fact that our ethical principles, ethical teachings of Islam, the general guidelines of Islam, all of them are in harmony with the universal system. And if you think, even for a moment, that your benefit or your interest lies in anything against Islam, then you are short-sighted when it comes to that. You're not seeing the whole picture. One of the early generations, from a tabi'een, he said, I looked at something I was not supposed to look at. Okay, he looked at something haram he was not supposed to look at. But he kept looking for a short while. Then he realized, he just woke up, that he was not supposed to look at it. This person reached such a high level of clarity that he caught himself, you know, in a sin. Although it's like for, say, 2-3 seconds. Then he says to himself, وَاللَّهِ لَتَجِدَنَّ غُبَّهَا وَلَوْ بَعْدَحِينَ. He said to himself straight away, وَاللَّهِ you shall pay for that. You will pay for that, even if it's after a while. And he talks about himself. He says, wallahi, he was a hafiz of the Quran. He said, I forgot the Quran 40 years later. 40 years later, I forgot the Quran. And when I realized that, it doesn't happen obviously just like that. All of a sudden he wakes up, there's no Quran in his mind. But the causes for him to forget the Quran will come together. He would be tried with so much busyness, a lot of distractions here and there, and all of a sudden he would find himself that he did not keep up with his Qur'an, and he has forgot a lot of the Qur'an. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works, in tacit ways, and that's the meaning of Allah's name, Al-Latif. Latif, he works in hidden ways, very subtle ways, you don't realize, but he makes everything come together. Even one of the early generations, a famous statement, he said, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَعْرِفُ ذَنْبِي فِي خُلُقِ زَوْجَتِي وَسُلُوكِ دَابَّتِي. That I know that I've committed a sin. I realize that when I see my wife not treating me well, I know I've committed a sin. Or when my riding animal, my horse, for example, is not so responsive, is not so cooperative, I realize I must have sinned. You see how they developed this kind of acute sensitivity towards this beautiful universal system. I want to talk about one example of this, and it's truthfulness. Truthfulness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and just want to see how profound these ethical principles are. Often we look at truthfulness as speaking the truth, right? Just saying what's true. But truthfulness is much more than that, and this deficient or limited kind of understanding that we limit truthfulness only to speaking what is true or saying and uttering what is true, we are unable to reap the fruits of truthfulness. Because truthfulness is a state of being. It's a state of being. It's not only about your tongue, it's about your thoughts. It's about your heart. It's about your actions. It's about your interactions with other people. Truthfulness is a way of life. And if you are unable to maintain and observe truthfulness in all the facets of your being, of your human experience, you will not be able to be truthful with your tongue. You can't. It's impossible. Because compatibility is a human principle. We need to keep ourselves upon one path, one way. We need to be congruent with ourselves. We need to be consistent, right? Otherwise we'd have some kind of disparity or some kind of dissonance, and this is painful to us. It's very painful. So truthfulness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, fear Allah or have taqwa towards Allah and be with the truthful. That means let truthfulness be a description of who you are. So you join that group that is truly truthful. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. O you who believe, have taqwa towards Allah and speak a speech that is straight. Let your speech, let your words be straight, be true, be authentic. Then Allah says, what is the payoff for that? يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah will rectify your deeds. Allah will correct the course of your actions. What does speaking the truth have to do with your actions? And that's the secret about truthfulness. So truthfulness is not limited to only speaking the truth. Because if you are not true with yourself, you cannot speak the truth. How often you make a commitment and you really mean it, right? Yeah, I want to help you tomorrow. Someone asks you for help, yeah, tomorrow I'll be there for you. But then tomorrow you realize you have so many things on your plate, or you're so tired, or you made some other commitments, or you don't actually, you just develop more clarity with yourself. You realize, oh, maybe I just got excited at that time. I didn't really mean it. Part of me got excited and I just made that commitment. But in reality, I don't want to help him. So what will you do? You'll start coming up with excuses. Now, you were not lying when you said, yes, I will help you. But what made you do that commitment? You were not true to yourself. You were not clear with yourself. And that's the problem. Here, this takes us to a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. The Messenger ﷺ said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَكْذِبْ وَيَتَحَرَّ الْكَذِبْ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. That a person lies and seeks more lies. So he keeps lying and lying until he is written in the records with Allah as a liar. What does that mean? What are the implications of this? The implications are, when you lie to other people, yourself will lie to you. When you lie to others, yourself will lie to you. So you will never develop self-clarity. You will not know exactly what is pushing you to do certain actions. So you might be doing things and think, oh, I'm doing this for the sake of Allah, but you're doing it for yourself. But you can't see why, and you can't see how, because you have not been truthful enough. So truthfulness is about transparency. When you develop this transparency, you start to see deeper into yourself. And that's the secret behind the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he said, الرياء أو شرك الخفي أخفى من دبيب النملة السوداء على الصخرة الصماء في الليلة الظلماء. He says, showing off, رياء, which is a form of lying. You're lying to yourself and then you're lying to Allah. I'm doing this for Allah, but you're actually doing it for other people. That's proper lying. Riya, showing off, lack of sincerity, is a clear manifestation, a clear act of untruthfulness. It's a lie. It's the biggest lie. But you're not lying with your tongue. You're lying through your being, through your state of being, through your actions. You're lying. So the Prophet ﷺ said, this kind of showing off and lack of sincerity is more hidden than the steps of an ant that is walking on a solid stone in the middle of the dark night. Can you hear the steps of an ant? You can't. Impossible. And showing off, lack of sincerity, is more hidden than that. Is more tacit than that. So oftentimes, and that's the problem, that in some hadith the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that a person will come to Allah with so many acts of worship. And then when he stands in the presence of Allah on the Day of Judgment, they will be turned into nothing. The person might think, yeah, I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. But you actually, if you really investigate, if you really look into yourself with honesty and clarity, you'll find you're doing it for another reason. And that's very dangerous. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, also reported by Muslim, the first three people who will be sent to the hellfire, the first three people are what? Alim, qari', someone who's memorized the Quran, someone who's and learned the meanings, and he teaches the people, and he's a scholar, alim, because that's what qari' really means. It's not only the memorization, it's the whole package. Qari', shaheed, martyr, and a generous person, Kareem. These people will be the first ones to be sent to the hellfire. They will come to Allah. Allah will say, what did you do with all the things that I have, all my blessings upon you? Oh Allah, I fought for your sake and I got killed. I was martyred for your sake. Allah will say, you are lying. Imagine, Allah called lack of sincerity of intention, you're lying. Because you were lying to yourself in the dunya. You could not realize where you were coming from when you were doing your actions. You thought, oh, I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. No, you're just fooling yourself because you've lied so much that your self lies to you and you don't see through that. And you live your whole life in a lie. That's the problem with lying. That's the problem with not being truthful in each and every affair of your daily life, personal, interpersonal interactions. You need to develop truthfulness. You need to pay attention to that. So Allah will say to him, no, you did that for so that people will say he's a hero. He's a brave man. Send him to the hellfire. You got that. You got what you wanted on the dunya. You got the reputation. Now to the hellfire. Second person, what did you do? Oh Allah, I memorized the Quran and I learned Islam and I taught people Islam for your sake. You're lying. Lack of sincerity is lying. You lied to yourself. Yourself lied back to you and now you're lying to me. You think you're saying the truth. You're not. When you don't know yourself, you can't tell the truth. Believe me. You will make commitments that you don't yourself doesn't really want to make. It's just the heat of the moment. The excitement sometimes overtakes you. But when you develop the clarity, you know. You know, one day, Sufyan al-Thawri, radiallahu anhu, one of the great scholars of al-Tabi'een, he was about doing something, and one of his students came and he said, you know, one of your good friends, another scholar, passed away, and that's his janazah will take place. Would you like to come? It might be shocking to you, but there's so much, you know, beauty in that statement. He said, he just thought, he paused for a moment and he thought, and he said, إِنِّي لَا أَجِدُ نِيَّ لِذَلِكَ. I don't find within myself a sincere intention to do it. At that moment, he could not feel that if he went there, that would be done for the sake of Allah. He just felt it. He wasn't in that state. Probably he was busy with something else. He had something else on his mind. And he did not want to do it just for the sake of a sense of obligation or social obligation. Or for the sake of people, you know, seeing him in that janazah or not missing him. So he realized he was not that self-clarity. He realized he was not going to do it with the right intention. So he just confessed that. He said, I don't feel the right kind of intention to do it. So I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to go about do what I was doing. That doesn't mean you give up good righteous actions, but this is a high level of clarity. He realized that at this moment, I could not muster the right kind of intention. And I'm not going to do an action. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm not going to lie to Allah and do something for the sake of people, you know, seeing what or doing what people expect of me. I'm not going to do this. That takes a lot of courage. The third person is someone who's given so much for the sake of Allah. And Allah will ask him, what did you do with everything I've given you? And he would say, oh Allah, I gave so much money out for your sake. Allah would say, no, you did that because you wanted people to recognize you. People to say you're generous. And indeed, people said, you got that? Send him to the hellfire. So in a sense, truthfulness is a way of life. And if you can be true to yourself, true to Allah, true to other people, everything will just fall into place. And you can think of any sin, it's an act of untruthfulness. Any sin. If you think of any act of worship, it's actually an act of truthfulness. For example, someone steals money, takes money that doesn't, theft, doesn't belong to him. He lied to himself before making this sin. How? He convinced himself somehow that I deserve that money that doesn't belong to me. And it's okay to take it. So imagine how many lies. I deserve it. It's okay to take it. I will get away with that. These are at least three lies. Any kind of sin, think about it. There are so many lies behind it. There are so many lies behind it. Someone falls into the sin of zina, committing fornication. What did they do? In their very nature, humans do not desire to commit zina or to commit a sexual act with a person that's not halal for them. Humans designed that way. But the corruption happens in the mind. So a person commits zina. First of all, Allah gave you. You know, the sexual desire is a noble desire. Sometimes we look at it like it's a stigma, right? But this sexual desire is actually the reason we are here today. When Allah puts something inside you, when Allah puts a need inside you, a drive, natural motivation inside you, it is good. The problem only comes when you put it in the wrong place. And that's what a lot of the scholars of Islam, they said, any sin that human beings do, that's the formula for it. Taking something good and putting it in the wrong place. So for example, stealing. Sense of ownership is something designed for humans to help them survive and thrive. So when you use this need for ownership and possession to take someone else's property and violate their right to possess and maintain their property, then you have put that desire in the wrong place. And that's when it's a sin. But originally it was a good thing. Zina. Sexual desire is something very good and noble. It's designed for recreation, the reproduction of human beings, and the continuity of the human race. And through, you know, this continuity, you get a lot of rewards from your children if they are righteous. Imagine, they are a means to getting higher in paradise even, through this sexual desire. So it's something good. When you put it in the wrong place, you've committed a sin. Any sin. And that's what Imam Al-Qayyim stated, that he said any sin originally comes from a good place within you, but you have put it in the wrong context. That's it. Any sin you can think of. Any sin. So this is why you have been untruthful to that good need, the sexual desire. You've been untruthful to it. You put it in the wrong place, and that's a lie. Lie through your state of being. Lies, a lie through your actions. So any sin you can think of, it will actually be an act of lying. Any growth, human growth, any act of righteousness, anything positive in human life is an act of authenticity and truthfulness. You stay true to your fitrah. You stay true to the book of Allah. You stay true to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You stay true to other human beings. You know, someone wants you to help them in a sin. If you help them, you're not being good to them. You're not being truthful. You've lied to them. But if you tell them the truth, you say that what you're doing is wrong, I can't help you there, you should actually give it up. You are being truthful. The same is with yourself. So when you develop that kind of clarity in all your affairs, that kind of truthfulness, you will see so much clarity within yourself. So so when you act truthfully to your fitrah, your very true state of, you know, when someone sins, they know it, especially the early times that they have gone against their nature. They know it, that sense of guilt, that reprimand that comes from within. You know, that's actually the call of the fitrah. That's the call of the heart, the call of the soul. And when you lie to it and act untruthfully and without, you know, losing that sense of authenticity to your pure nature, that's when you fall into a sin. You know something is wrong, but you still do it. The problem with this, it develops what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called in the Quran, and this is how he describes the people, the actions of the people who do evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the actions of these people that ظُلُمَاتٌ, it's like the waves above waves above waves above waves in Surah An-Nur, above waves of darkness. ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. These people, their actions are darkness over darkness over darkness over darkness. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَهَا. If he puts out his hand or she puts out her hand, they will be unable, even almost unable to see it because of the darkness. And that shows that there will be lack of self-clarity. So they won't know that you'll be doing something to please others, but you feel, oh, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. When do you get to that stage? When you have done it so many times that you have become desensitized to the call of your heart, to the call of your fitrah. Now you're so used to lying, you're so numb, you can't see. It's become so much darkness over darkness over darkness, you don't realize that actually, oh, I'm not doing this for the sake of Allah. And you'll see it. You will be with so many people. You make commitments. You promise so many things, and you won't be able to deliver. And you say, "What's wrong with me? I can't keep my word." Yeah, you've gone too far with untruthfulness. You've gone too far with that lack of clarity. So yourself is lying so much to you. And it gets worse when yourself starts promising you that if you do this, it's going to be good for you. When it's a sin. When yourself takes the lead. And you completely lose control, and you're lost in life. That's like final stages, terminal stages of that kind of illness, and it becomes hard to get out of that. So truthfulness, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be truthful, this life will work for you, even if it doesn't show. And a lot of people, I've heard a lot of stories of people told the truth in the most difficult times. And I remember I was 6 years old. 6 years old. And subhanAllah, it was a lesson from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It might not happen exactly with you. That's a disclaimer, yeah? You might try this, it might not work out with you. But I remember I was 6 years old, and I was playing with a ball in my room, and I hit the light. It was hanging, and I hit it with the ball. And my mom at that time, she's had it with me, yeah, that day. So, and she heard the noise, and she came. The light was on. When the ball hit it, went off. And I realized I was in trouble. Now, she wasn't ready to take anything more from me. So she walks into the room. She said, she saw the light, you know, swinging. And she says, did you hit it? I was tempted to lie. I remember that. I was really tempted. But I don't know. I just realized if I lie, it's swinging anyway. So so I just said, I remember I just saying, oh Allah, please save me. Save me from this moment. And I said, please Allah, save me from this moment. I said that in my heart. And I said, yes, I did. She switches the light off, switches it on, it comes on. And from that moment, I remember I said, oh Allah, I will never lie. I'm not sure if I kept that promise, but I'm still trying my best. But it does, that's a very simple kind of example. But really, in life, if you are truthful, you will develop more clarity. And this is why Allah, I go back to the same verses just to show you that they make a bit more sense now. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, have taqwa to Allah and speak a speech that is straight. Speak the truth. Speak authentically. What will Allah do? Allah will rectify your actions. Rectify. Why? And that doesn't mean only the actions externally. Because the action starts with what? Intention. Right? So Allah will rectify your intentions and will rectify your actions. And He will lead you to the right actions. So that truthfulness leads you to more clarity, so you will realize where I'm coming from within myself. Am I doing this to please, appease? Am I doing this for the sake of Allah? Am I doing this to get some kind of gain? Or am I doing it truthfully for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any external kind of gain? Am I doing it as a true expression of my love for Allah? Am I bringing my heart and my soul into it? Or am I just doing it because I feel I have to, or just because I'm going through the motions? So that's a meaning of it. So you can see truthfulness is a state of being. It's not only your speech. And this is why when in one of the battles, a new Muslim came and joined the Prophet ﷺ. And after one like stage of the battle, the Muslims made actually some spoils of war. And the Prophet ﷺ was distributing them, giving everyone their share. So this man went somewhere and he came back. So the Prophet ﷺ kept his share for him with some other soldiers. When he came to his friends, they said, that's your share from the Prophet ﷺ. He was surprised. He went to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, I didn't join you for this. I joined you in order to get shot here, right here. Right here for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ left him. In the second stage during the same kind of war, another battle, this man was brought to the Prophet ﷺ and he was carried on the shoulders. It seems the Prophet ﷺ was actually waiting for something, was anticipating something. So the man was carried And the Prophet ﷺ could see the arrow sticking out of his throat when he was carried, was bleeding. And he didn't see his face. He said, "Ahuwa huwa? Is it the same guy?" You can see even the excitement. I mean, read the statement, you can't help but feel the excitement of the Prophet ﷺ. "Ahuwa huwa? Is it he?" They said yes. So everyone almost was aware of that. The Prophet ﷺ said the beautiful statement, "Sadaqa Allah fa sadaqahu." He was truthful. He truly wanted that. It wasn't a passing wish. It was a sincere wish deep in his heart. He was really truthful about it. And if you are truthful with Allah, Allah will give you what you want. Allah will give you what you want. Oftentimes, we jump on a project or in a study or on a relationship and we think, "Oh, that's good for me. That's good for me." But actually, if you really have developed the clarity, the truthfulness with yourself, you would actually realize that it's not for me. Oftentimes, I'm talking about myself, any kind of project that I jumped into, that I got involved in, any kind of work, any kind of environment, relationship, any context, any commitment, and it didn't work out, and it turned out to be like, ended up in bad shape. Really, when I go and investigate, there was a stage when I was making a decision that there was something inside that was telling me no. But I just pushed it to the side. I sort of suppressed that and said, no. I can find some logic there, okay, it's quite tempting. I'm just going to do it. So, and this is why the Prophet ﷺ, the fatwa he gave, and oftentimes we misinterpret it. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "You know, there are issues that happen, I don't have any proof about them. I'm not aware of any proof about it. What should I do? And I need to make a decision." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Istafti qalbak," right? Ask your heart for a fatwa. That's not for everyone. If a person has developed so much authenticity and clarity within themselves, that they have been true to their nature, true to their fitrah, true to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true to their other people, then they have developed so much clarity within themselves to really know where they're coming from. So they would realize. And that's what's called firasa, the sense of insight and intuition that, for example, Imam al-Shafi'i had. You know, sometimes we give a person a fake smile. We think, "Oh, that's good, yeah? That's a sunnah." No. The sunnah is to give a real smile. The sunnah is a smile is a real smile. A fake smile is not really a smile, is it? It's not. So sometimes we start distributing fake smiles and think, "Oh, that's a sunnah." No, that's an act of lying. You're telling people, "I'm happy to see you," while your heart's saying, "I don't want to even look at you. I'm not happy with you being here." But you're giving that fake smile. Isn't that an act of lying? It's a discrepancy between two parts of who you are, your true self deep inside your heart and your facial expression. Now, there are certain exceptions and they have to be very limited, where sometimes in order to avoid a very difficult situation, you might give that kind of smile, as the Prophet ﷺ did with the person. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Bi'sa akhul ashira," what a, like an evil man, right, when he was approaching. But when he came, the Prophet ﷺ gave him a smile. Aisha asked him, obviously because she knows the general demeanor of the Prophet ﷺ, that he doesn't smile if he doesn't mean it. So she said, "You know, you said such and such about this person, now he came, you're giving him a smile." The Prophet ﷺ said, "The worst among the people is the one that people avoid or people compliment out of fear of his bad mouth, bad tongue, evil words, and his ability to harm." So obviously that was a very difficult situation the Prophet ﷺ had to handle. But generally speaking, the Prophet ﷺ would only give a smile when it was true. So I remember one day I just put something on Facebook that if the true sunnah is actually to give a true smile. If you don't mean it, don't give it. So, and I received some comments saying, "It's sunnah. You mean we don't have to, you know, follow the sunnah?" I said, "Subhanallah, the sunnah, I'm just telling you, just follow the sunnah, give a real true smile. Don't lie about it. Don't pretend." So pretending is a lie. Lie through your actions, through your attitudes, through your facial expressions. So this is just trying to deal. By the way, truthfulness is a very profound, big subject. If you just decide to live by one principle, make it truthfulness. And you will see that everything will just, all your actions will fall into place. You will find yourself doing everything that is good. And subhanAllah, Allah designed Islam in a way that if you take one of the main principles of Islam and follow it, you will find that it's actually taking you to all the other stuff without you realizing, all the other good things about Islam without you even thinking or realizing. This is why the Prophet ﷺ many times, you know, said, "Ad-deenun nasiha." Islam is nasiha. which is not only advice, it's far bigger than that. But if you truly live by the principle of nasiha, you will find yourself doing everything that's good. If you live by truthfulness, as Allah says, "Kunu ma'a as-sadiqin," be with the truthful, you will find yourself doing everything that's good and avoiding everything that's bad. These are just different pathways into the true nature of human beings that is guided and grown and enhanced by the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So truthfulness is so big, but this is just a glimpse on it to show you that actually our ethical principles that Islam teaches us are very practical. Only when you judge them on a short-term basis, you're unable to see, because the story has not taken a full circle. So most people jump to conclusions, especially when we are young. You lie, you get away with it. You say the truth, you get punished. And I think, oh, you see, good principles, truthfulness doesn't work, but lying does work. But the child doesn't realize that probably 2 months later it will come back. So what goes around comes around. That's a general system. So this is why... one of the Muslim scholars made a profound statement that was quoted so often in the books, that whoever thinks that his interest or her interest lies in anything that is against the teachings of Islam, they are completely mistaken. They don't see the whole picture. So be truthful and you will see it will pay off even later on. You can deal with the immediate consequences. They might not be pleasant because it's still like you probably... It's not the telling the truth that caused you this discomfort, but it's the fact that you've done something, right? That brought you these consequences. But hold on to truthfulness and you will see it will pay off way, way better than that. Any ethical principle, anything that Islam teaches us is in our own interest and it's compatible with the design, with the practicality of this universe. And if we have, I'll close with the same notion, that if you have a tacit, even a tacit belief, that if I follow the truth, if I do what's good, if I make ethical choices, things will not work out, you're somehow tacitly accusing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He wants us to follow a way of life that is impractical. And He allows the evil ones who break His law and break His word to win and to be victorious. And that's a powerful, a huge accusation. And to me, sometimes it's more powerful than speaking it. This is why the scholars of Islam sometimes have developed 7 levels of intention. You know, your intention goes through 7 levels. Most of us are aware of the surface one, or the 2 on the surface, but we don't realize where it's coming from. When you develop that kind of clarity through truthfulness, you will realize, you'll start to see through it and know exactly, wow, I'm doing this for some kind of personal benefit. It's not for Allah. So either I can fix it, let me fix it now. If not, I'm just going to leave this altogether. And this kind of clarity puts you in so much peace. You know where you're coming from. You know what? You know what? You know, what's good for you, what's bad for you. And I close with this fatwa from Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. And this shows you, he used this even understanding in his fatwa. Someone asked him, he said, which is better at night? I spend a lot of time at night up. So which is better for me, to pray, qiyam al-layl, or to recite Quran, or to make dhikr, general dhikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah, Allahu Akbar. Which is better? He said, ideally speaking, the highest reward comes with prayer. Number 2, reciting Quran. At the bottom of the list comes making random dhikr. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. He says, but some people might find their heart in dhikr. And it's so engaging to them that they can do more of it and they can sustain it. And the experience would be profound. So they would be doing it from their hearts. So he said, for this person, making random dhikr is better for him than the other acts. And he said, sometimes there are some people enjoy recitation of the Quran and it causes them so much spiritual growth and connection to Allah and they can sustain it and do more of it. And it's more rewarding to them spiritually, and they should do more of this than prayer. See the kind of... So we need to develop this kind of clarity. And this is why... Some of the early generations, and this is a statement that was quoted often as well, مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ نَفْسَهُ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ رَبَّهُ. He who does not know himself well, he does not know Allah well. If you don't know the workings of yourself very well, where you're coming from, what is really moving you, what is driving you to do this kind of action, what's driving you to get into this kind of endeavor, this kind of line of action, what is pushing you there? If you don't know, you might be doing it for the wrong reason. So develop that clarity, so on the day of judgment, you will not be surprised with the consequences. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among the truthful and the ones that are sincere. Jazakumullah khair for your patience. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.